Today is Monday, August the 21st, 2017, the day of the Lakeland Housing Authority regular board meeting. The time is now 6:05.
Now 6:05 p.m., call the meeting to order. Stand for the pledge of allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moment of silence. You can be seated. Quorum has been established. Commissioner Evangelos is on the phone, and we have five members present, so we do have a quorum. Approval of the meeting agenda. Does everybody have a copy of the agenda? And any additions or changes? Hearing none. The approval of the minutes are as printed. We have honor today of an FSS graduation. Praise the Lord.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. May I want to do the
minutes? Oh, approve the minutes. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead.
You're so excited you were.
You got this big check on there. I'm going to escort her out to her parking lot. Has anybody had a chance to read the minutes of the last meeting, July 24th?
Yes.
If so, I will entertain a motion. Would anybody speak at once?
I make a motion that we approve the minutes as written.
Seconded.
Okay. Been moved and seconded that the minutes of the July 24th meeting be accepted as printed. Roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel.
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner Hall.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
Commissioner Asbury.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Apologize, I should have been more on top of this, but on the agenda of the other business, wanted to add a discussion about the annual calendar for 2017.
Okay. I had that in my report also.
So okay.
You can either add or you can, when I make my report.
Okay. I don't believe this one.
To accept, when you accept mine, we can deal with it then.
Okay.
Okay, so like I said, I get so excited that we're able to have an FSS graduation. Sylvania Allen,
yes.
Stand up a step forward. Thank you.
Do I do this? I don't know what to do. I don't want to have my back to anybody.
You're fine. Just face the chair.
Okay, I do have a... I do have a bio here, and it was written by all four Sylvania. It says her name is Sylvania Allen. She's a participant of the Lakeland Housing Authority FSS program. She currently attends Polk State College, pursuing an associate degree in business administration manager with specialization in marketing. She's completed 78% of her curriculum with a 3.55 GPA. And only 6 classes remaining. That's worthy of a hand. Give her a hand. She works for the Oak Ridge Health Center as a wheelchair transport driver, and she's a single mother of one and also cares for her father. Before she started the FSS program, she was working at the time, but because she heard about the program, it made my business to sign up for it. Mm-hmm. I met with a counselor, set up a goal for over a period of 5 years. I was determined to meet every goal that I set. I set goals to get some kind of training and find a job. The most important goal was for me to start college. So after being out of school for 15 years, I finally went to college and maintained a 4.0 for the first half of the college career. Mm-hmm. One summer break during the first half of her college career, she took a certified nurse's assistant class and received her license and began working at Oak Ridge Healthcare Center as a certified nurse assistant, then later switched over to wheelchair transport driver. She says that the FSS program has helped her to set a realistic goal for herself, but in accomplishing those goals, she ended up setting new goals inside of her original goals and accomplished those as well. There was many obstacles and roadblocks along the way, but being determined to reach every single goal that she set out to reach, she pushed her way through every situation. She liked to finish what I started, and being in FSS program taught me how to do just that. I will be graduating Polk State College with an associate degree in business administration management with specialization in marketing in the spring of 2018. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Give her another hand. Give me a great pleasure on behalf of the Lakeland Housing Authority to present you this certificate of completion. Is hereby awarded to Savannah Allen for successfully completing the Family Self-Sufficiency Program of the Housing Authority of the City of Lakeland on the 21st day of August, signed by Benjamin Stevenson, Executive Director, and Carlos Pizarro, Vice President of Housing. And Carlos, why don't you come up? You can present her with that, and I'll hold the check.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Okay. More especially, can I tell how much the check is?
No.
You got it?
I'll go home.
You might want to get an arm guard.
Okay.
Hey, I got you. That person.
I would like to say before I leave, because I got to get off to school. Class started at 6:30, so. But I would just like to say that I really love this program. I think it's great, and anybody that I know that gets started with the Section 8 program, I always encourage that they look into the FSS program, because I think it's really wonderful. And it does help you set goals, and it helps you get things accomplished. And I like to finish what I start, so that's it. And I'm doing just that.
All right.
Thank you.
Is that your daughter?
That's my counselor.
Oh, that's your counselor.
That's counselor.
So young these days.
Okay, you owe him $20.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have any public forum?
Do you want to sign up for public forum?
Nobody signed up? Fine. New business? Any new business come before us?
No, sir.
Old business, the recovery plan update. I'll give that report. The members of the recovery committee is myself and Commissioner Hall. We met on August 16, 2017 with the executive director and staff, and we reviewed the recovery plan, and the report is as follows. On the Williamtown site, those of you that might be going by there and driving through there, the foundations are being laid, pipes are coming up out of the ground, and they have been experiencing some delay due to the weather, but it's not expected to delay the project, so keep an eye on that as it comes out of the ground. The members of Youth Bill are on site and assisting with that effort, so this is really hands-on experience for them, which I think is great as they move into their profession. The Westlake plans have been submitted to HUD, and since there's no public funding, should make it go easier and faster. We've contacted HUD to assist in expediting this process. The Section 8 land review and proposals have been submitted. The Westlake developer fee, currently exceeding the Safe Harbor guidelines, we will send a justification to HUD and see if we can get any kind of positive response to that. I won't say what the chances are, but we'll go through it anyhow. We're still meeting with the potential investors about projects for 10th Street or Arbor Manor. They also may be considering other sites. The Yachty, so 7S is up and running and being debugged. It's actually online. So that's the last step for Yachty that we have to go through. So we thank God for that. And under Housing Operations, the agency plan will be ready in September for approval. The audit report by Berman and Hopkins will be in September. And the three public comments from last month's meeting have been addressed in writing, and copies are available, I believe, in each packet. There should be a copy of the responses.
That's in your board packet.
Oh, that's what all this is?
Yeah, that's what that is. And copies were sent certified to the three speakers. Only one has picked theirs up.
Okay. That's bedtime reading. Would you like to add any comments to that?
Yeah, well, I just want to show you all, this is the development proposal that was submitted to HUD, and this is the subsequent land review that was submitted to HUD for the Section 8 project-based vouchers. Each was for the Westlake project across the street, and this is the appraisal that accompanied the subsequent land review. And we then make copies for you all because, you know, want to save some trees, but I can pass them around if y'all want to see what's involved with them. And then also want to add that the general contractor for the Westlake project had a kickoff meeting with them last week and found out they had hired two of our youth bill graduates to work with their company and stuff. So,
we also reviewed the financials, which are in your package, and we will go over those shortly. As the executive director just made mention, in November and December, our meeting dates fall right just before Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we need to address that and see if we want to make any changes or we want to go ahead and meet those of you that may be on vacation or for the holidays.
Okay. Yeah, I think normally the board has not held a board meeting during the week of Thanksgiving. It usually holds it the week prior to, but again, the board has to agree to do that. And so we're asking y'all if y'all be willing to do that again this year. Let's hold a meeting on the Monday prior to Thanksgiving, as opposed to having a board meeting during the Thanksgiving week. That way everyone can enjoy their time with their family and friends and girlfriends or boyfriends.
Together. Actually, we talk about that. Together.
Right.
And travel together. Mm-hmm.
So this is the original schedule?
Yes.
And this is the revised schedule?
No, that's the list of the federal holidays.
Oh,
and,
that's
federal holidays, yeah.
And what we're asking, again, is that the November board meeting be moved up a week. So as opposed to being Monday, November 20th, it'll be Monday, November 13th, or any other day during that week that you all prefer.
Okay. And but what about Christmas?
And last year, the board agreed to not hold a meeting in December unless there's something pressing to give us time to close out for the year. And we have asked that you all do the same thing this year.
Okay, so your further recommendation from the executive director to move the November meeting up to November, it was the 13th?
Yes.
And to forego a meeting in December unless it's necessary to call for any emergency.
Wouldn't it be the 18th, not the 28th on the December?
I don't know. I don't have a calendar.
No, I'm just looking at it, yeah. It's Monday, December 28th. I think it's the 18th, you mean?
For December.
Is it the 3rd?
I'm sorry?
The 3rd.
December?
The
3rd,
Monday.
18th.
3rd,
Monday,
December.
Oh, yes, you're correct. Yes.
No, I just...
You're correct. Yeah, not the typo.
Either way.
Yeah, no, I'm just... Not either way, I'm just... Yeah, for a typo, just for the record.
Your
typo.
Trying to...
No.
Thank you, sir. Point that out.
No problem.
Is the 3rd, Monday, in December or November?
December. It's the 18th, not the 28th. And then again, November... if y'all are fine with the 13th or some other day during that week, works for you all.
Okay.
Can we come back next meeting and let her check our calendars and then bring it back next meeting to confirm it for? No, I mean, we still have enough time.
We got enough time. Yeah.
I mean, if the board agrees, I don't have all my calendars in here.
Isn't there some meeting that falls in November, President's Day?
Veterans Day.
Yes, it's right here.
On the 10th.
Friday the 10th.
It's on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
We celebrate on Friday. For the holiday.
So the recommendation they made that we review our calendars, and then that next meeting we come in and to finalize what day we're going to meet in November. That's satisfactory, everyone? Fine. Okay. And that completes the report of the okay, next thing on the agenda is secretary.
Submitted as written.
Okay.
Oh, I will add just one thing. The city contacted me about making some improvements to the shoreline at Lake Beulah. They said they need our permission since we were the owners of that portion of the shoreline. And I was like, have at it.
We are the owners of the shoreline? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, the property line extends out into the water. Right. So it's free to swim in that portion out if you like.
No, I was thinking about fishing, tell the truth. But at any rate, so we go past the sidewalk then. Okay.
Yes. As with most property owners, your property goes, I think, like to the middle of the street, mm-hmm. but the city reserves some of it for public use, mm-hmm. like a sidewalk that's in your. Mm-hmm. And the grass is on the other side of the sidewalk. You're responsible for cutting it, but the city owns it, even though it's your property. You just have to cut it on behalf of the city. So. Okay. And yes, you can fish in our portion of the property.
Big bass I've seen go out there.
Yeah, stock it. They stock it
there. Some fish out
there. Yeah, I've seen some nice ones come out.
That's some money that we can stock in there, couldn't we?
That's an option. In the future, we'll get that. We actually had a celebration of Father's, I think, event, Father's and Son, where mm-hmm. we had a little fishing tournament out there. Some people call it some did.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Okay, anything else for the report? Housing and operation?
Yeah, the only thing I have is if the board has any comments to in regard to the agency plan, I need them before the next board meeting so I can add any comments or additions or deletions to the agency plan. That's the only thing I have. I'm going to bring the agency plan for approval next board meeting.
Okay. So you want the board to review it and have a...
That was a big book.
I
didn't know that's a big book.
Yes. Yeah. What you all got was just
the changes. Some of the changes.
And so if you got any comments, you know, feel free to give them to us. You can email them or, you know, call them, what we'd like to do.
Okay. Administration.
Okay. As Mrs. Stevenson mentioned, the auditor will be here to present the LHA audited financials of calendar year 2016 as part of next month's board meeting. Also, I'll just do a quick overview of the 10 properties and or programs that we have. Starting with Central Office Cost Center, if you look at the income statement, the property has a positive NOI for the period of $7,770. And a positive NOI for the year to date is $58,484. Once we get the 2016 audited financials finalized, anything that may have to be resolved between the program review bill and CLCC will be resolved.
The financials are behind tab 6, right after the housing report.
Any outcome between the interfund that existed between CLCC and Youth Bill when they shared a bank account will be resolved at that time. It'll be a final entry that is put it in the final report that will be submitted to HUD through the REACT system. And as you can see, with the positive NOI for year to date, there is money to reconcile that. Also, when you look at the balance sheet and you compare it to the cash statements, the ending cash for period ending July 25th, 2017, is $67,006 versus $65,001, which is going to be outstanding checks that were, that have not cleared in the actual cash statement. Section 8 has a negative NOI for the period and year to date for both the HAP program as well as admin. Of course, we have HUD held reserves that are actually being used when we do have shortfalls in that particular program, as well as I know we have put in for requests to get additional funding to cover the shortfall, and I apologize because I wasn't here, so I don't really know the outcome of the request. So, Carlos and Adalia, do you have...
We don't know yet.
We don't know yet? Okay. I was just making sure it wasn't me because I wasn't here, but we'll wait for the outcome to see if they're going to support our request for additional funding. If you compare the balance sheet to the cash flow statement, the total cash is $179,000 as it is reflected on the balance sheet, which is pretty consistent with actual cash statement. It's a $2,000 difference, which again is accounted for by outstanding checks that may have, that didn't clear the bank yet, but we know are written and should clear. For public housing program, it has negative NOI for the period, but the NOI is positive for the year to date. And some items that contributed to that is we had some resident services expenses because during the year we try to have programs that either support the community to get people out or to work towards self-sufficiency. We don't spend a consistent amount every month. We may plan for a big event during various times of the year in response to Mother's and Father's Day or doing something special just to piggyback on some other activities that are occurring during the city. But the main thing is that even though you may have had a shortfall for the period, the actual NOI for year-to-date for depreciation is still positive. Also, utility expenses for the year have been higher than budgeted than we had initially budgeted, as well as we had some positive variances that reflected interest that we received in income from Colton Meadows and the Villas of Lake Bonnet, as well as we are continuing to get an additional subsidy from HUD based on the fact that they had underfunded us during the first part of the year. Now they're realizing that and catching up on the subsidy. So that also helped contribute in a positive NOI for year to date. Then when you look at total cash for public housing, including restricted cash, is $2.4 million, which is consistent with the changes in cash that's shown in your cash flow statement. Dakota Park has a positive NOI of $1,750 for the period, $1,641 for year to date. This is one of the properties that had been struggling. Usually it doesn't have a positive cash flow before depreciation because it is only 40 units total. But HUD has recognized that it has underfunded us not only in calendar year 2016, but also in the beginning of 2017. And they have been giving us more subsidy to account for the shortfall. If you look at the balance sheet, we have total cash of $58,740, which is consistent with the cash statement shown on the next page. Renaissance has a negative NOI for the period of $4,179, but for year to date it's a positive $81,898. Renaissance is another property that receives subsidy from HUD, in which they recognized that they had not given us enough subsidy in the beginning of the year, so they're at this time catching up on covering the property's expenses. Again, the thing that stands out with overages in the budget are we had conducted several events throughout the year for the community, but despite that, we still have positive NOI, and the property manager continues to actually get funds from private partners. Also, if you look at rent collections, they're consistent with the budget. So as far as looking for the last 3 months of the year to see how we're going to close out, Renaissance continues to be in a positive position. And their cash from the balance sheet is $1.3 million, which is consistent with the cash statement connected to the report. Colton Meadow continues to have a positive NOI for the period of $10,704, as well as year-to-date of $38,995. There's really nothing extraordinary to report on Colton Meadow. They still have deferred developer fees that were seeking to be paid from the property, and it's great to see that it has positive NOI for both the period and year-to-date, so that when you look at it at the year end and you're looking in the first part of the year to see if we're going to get any developer fees, the property ending with a positive NOI is increases LHA's ability to collect deferred developer fees for its development entity. And then if you look at the balance sheet, total cash $695,000, which is about $1,000 difference from which it's in the cash statement, which again, it depends on outstanding checks that hadn't cleared yet. Bonnet Shores has a negative NOI for the period of $12,864, and the year-to-date, the NOI for the year-to-date is negative $11,506. There, the items that account for the negative NOI before depreciation on Bonnet Shores is due to the contracts that we have actually put on the property to do improvements at the site. Initially, Bonnet Shores had owed us deferred developer fees. Last year, they paid that money back 100%. So we've been using surplus in the property to actually make improvements for the families that live at the site.
And today we receive approval from the investor to reimburse us for $34,000 for work that was done the prior month. So so we're getting paid for all the work that we did.
Right, and I believe that's true for Colton, too.
Mm-hmm. Colton is $15,000.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. The balance sheet is, you have total cash of $764,000, and that's consistent with the cash flow statement attached to the back of the report. West Bartow Partnership has a positive NOI for the period and year-to-date of $5,429 and $53,133 respectively. Looking at the income statement, there's nothing really just extraordinary that stands out for the property. The property does owe us deferred developer fees, but as I always like to remind commissioners that with West Bartow, that was a property where the housing authority self-developed it. It has deferred developer fees that are owed, but at the time that was during the subprime mortgage crisis, if the housing authority had have given back the tax credits, then we would have been prevented from being able to apply for tax credits for 3 years. So what the housing authority, the administration at the time did, was put in deferred developer fees knowing that they probably would never collect it, that the property wouldn't have the cash flow. So even though West Bartow has been paying on deferred developer fees, it is not feasible that they will pay back the whole $1.2 million that they owe the housing authority. And everybody understood that at the time when it closed in 2010, because of the fact that you had to look at long-term being able to continue to do self-development at the housing authority, which most developers have to look at, or returning the credits and not having that opportunity. And since the investor with the collapse of the market at the time was not going to give us what was anticipated for the tax credit, the amount of they were going to pay us for the tax credits that were awarded. Instead of getting at that time like $1.04 for every tax credit, it was lower, like 75 cents instead of the $1.04 anticipated. So that administration knew going in it would have been more detrimental for the housing authority to be barred from being able to submit for tax credit in the future than to do like a private developer would and say, we're going to make up the shortfall, and if the property ever is in a position to pay it back, we'll allow them to pay it back, but if not, the housing authority knew at the time of closing that it was going to have to write it off. If you look at the balance sheet, though, and you look at their cash position with Bartow, it shows an ending balance of $506,000, which is consistent with the cash statement. Hampton Hills is our Section 32 public housing program, which means it's a lease-to-purchase program where the residents have up to 2 years to actually improve their credit once they qualify to get in the house. If they get off the wait list and actually are living at the house, they have 2 years to purchase it from the time that they move in. In this particular property, we do have negative I for the period, even though it's positive to a year to get date, and what has made up for being positive is the fact that HUD has given us subsidy, and last year we didn't get any subsidy for Hampton Hills. And they realize it's still a lease to purchase, it's still public housing. And in 27, they started providing subsidy to operate the property. We do, if you look at the rental income, you see a negative 34% for the period, negative 15% for year to date. And that's because we had some homeowners who had lost their jobs in the 2 year process and had to have an interim done on their income, and their rents were substantially lower than what we anticipated. Now that they are approaching the end of their lease agreement, they have been given 90-day notice that they will have to either be able to purchase a home or they're going to have to move out, and then we'll show them comparable properties where they could actually move to for the ones who choose to move or end up having to move because they can't close on the house. But that, and what will happen is, then we'll go back to the waiting list for the people who move and fill those with the next set of families that actually qualify to be in the homes but have the ability to be able to purchase it within the two-year time frame. And then when you look at the assets from the balance sheet, they have total cash of $237,849, which is consistent with the cash flow statement. The last program that I would like to address is going to be Youth Build, which is a grant that we have with DOL. And when you look at the financial statements, you have to look at their two grants. One is the 2014 grant, which has the last cycle. So now we're actually doing the monitoring of the students who completed the program, and then you'll have a follow-up that you'll have to do to close the grant out. The 2016 grant is actually active, and that is the one where you have students who are participating in the construction of the Williamtown project as well as the Westlake project that we anticipate that will be closing in October of this year. When you look at NOI for Youth Bill, it is negative $6,148 and for the period and $24,603 for the year to date. The issue with that is timing of grant expenses, one. This is a reimbursable grant, so we put in for the expenses, they get reimbursed back, but we also have to have a match and a leverage. And at one point, when I was mentioning COCC, Youth Bill and COCC shared a bank account, and those accounts were split. In the process of splitting the accounts, the auditor is looking at how we say the money should have been split as far as the cash accounts between COCC and Youth Bill. They'll sign off on that before they finalize the financials for 2016 and present it to the board. And they'll give us the journal entry and the justification for making the transfer. And so what I anticipate is next month I'll be able to tell you this is the reconciliation of splitting those accounts. COCCO X amount to youth bill. The funds were transferred and then have the evidence of the transfer. And then you'll see the grants, the match funds that we got from other funding sources that went into the same account. You'll be able to see that they actually have cash. But until that gets resolved, COCC pays all the bills, and then it gets worked out with the year-end close. So that's why when you look on the cash statement, you see that youth bill shows $7,600 in cash, but you see negative cash balance in the account. That is because that money has not been transferred from COCC to youth bill until we have the outcome of that number. But if you look at, let's see, due to Central Office Cost Center, even though you see cash in the account of $76,000 that will make up their total cash of $70,640, they actually at this point in time owe COCC $77,000. So it's about $1,000 off in the wash. So it's not like it's going to be a big check that's written between COCC and youth bill, but that's how we're tracking. That's how you know that we know that there is some dollars that still need to be squared up between those two programs. And then, if I recall, the milestone that was coming up that was very important to everybody was the status of the CFP 2013 grant, that you'll see in the grant report. We did fully expend the grant on August 9th. HUD has funded it, so as you can see, one of the highlighted bars, the very first one that you see, third from the top, is that that grant is fully expended. No funds were in jeopardy, so we have spent every dime on it. And we have received every dollar we were supposed to receive of that $251,000 grant, and we're in the process of closing it out so that we can remove it from the report. Also, Jacksonville recognizes that in the transition of us going from the HUD Miami field office to the Jacksonville field office, that we still need to close out the CFP 2009 through 12 grants. So we're actually doing those close out now so that we can pull those grants out of ELOCs, show that they're fully expended, and not have to spend time every month reporting the same that is fully expended by the date it was supposed to, and it has zero balance. The next grant that was important to everybody was the actual HOPE 6 grant, because that was a 1999 grant that had $1.9 million remaining. We made our first draw on the HOPE 6 grant last month. So you can see that we're beginning to spend down the grant. It was originally $1.9 million left. We had $57,000 that was billed against the grant, which you see a balance of $1.8 million, and we continue to look at the split between the RHF funds and HOPE 6 and other federal that is associated with the Williamstown project to make sure that the HOPE 6 grant is fully expended. The other two draws that we did during this reporting period was for the Youth Bill 2016 grant and the Youth Bill 2014 grant. As you can see, the Youth Bill 2016 grant is really beginning to start. This is the first year, which is why you have $833,000 left in the grant. As far as 2014, you see that we have just finished the last cycle, and the next year will be spent monitoring and following up with the trainees to make sure they're getting jobs, to help them with job placement, to try to guide them on how to interview. So that's why it's only $54,000 left in that grant. And that concludes the financial board report for the 10 active projects and or programs that ALHA has at this time.
Very good. Anybody have any questions? Okay, thank you so much.
Let me ask you a question.
Yep.
Is that grant money predicated on how the youth bill students do after they graduate?
Well, if you look at the youth bill report, that's behind the actual financials. Mm-hmm. We do have to report to DOL our performance on how past participants in the cycle have done. August is when we actually do our quarterly report, and I don't have it attached, but we have to put the metrics. DOL has different key performance measures that they look at, and they compare us to where everybody else is around the country. Thus far, youth bill, since I've been here, since 2012, our youth bill program has exceeded the averages for the national. So we're their top, one of their top performing grants. That's why, if you recall last year, when we closed, we were in the closeout process of the 2011 youth bill grant. The OIG had picked us as one of the ones they were going to audit, because they wanted to actually look to see how the high performers were, do extra due diligence so they could give feedback for other agencies of why our performance was higher than the national average.
I read it here, it says you're pulling from the Pauley Diggs area, which is terrific, and areas around Pauley Diggs. So the kids in that area are doing well enough to monitor, I mean, to justify being youth bill to be so good, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Well, okay. Part of
so is 95%, what percent of the kids coming out of the Diggs area?
I would actually have to come back with that information, because I don't look at, I look at the overall, the financial part. I'm not actually in what the metrics are in comparison, but as far as to tell you X amount of students come from Pauley Diggs versus Westlake or Colton, I would have to go back to the program manager who runs the program and provide.
I asked a question wrong. My question is, what percent of the kids come from the housing units? I mean, the 75% or 80% come from the housing units, Lakeland Housing Authority units. Does a lot of percentage come from outside, other than the housing unit?
That's something I would have to look, because with DOL, remember, youth bill is no longer part of HUD. They gave it over to DOL, I forget what year, but it was definitely before 2009. So when the DOL looks at it, they're looking at students who fall in a certain income. They don't care if they're in public housing
or
convention.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's
and,
good.
And what I want to add too is that's that good. If you know of many kids in the Pauley Diggs neighborhood mm-hmm. who meet the age requirements, mm-hmm. feel free to refer them to us. Okay. And that goes for any other commissioner too.
Well, yeah, she answered the question when she said it goes on the income, not necessarily what it is. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very good. Yep.
But still, though, like if y'all know somebody who you think is benefit from the program, feel free to refer them to us. Taking applicants right now, the next class started shortly.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, started in here. Starting.
Right. So we advertise for Lakeland, and then anybody who falls in the age and that income mm-hmm. range, mm-hmm. they can actually apply to be in the next cycle.
Right.
Regardless of where they go.
Okay. Age and income, the only thing that matters.
Well, they cannot have a high school diploma or a GED. So once, like I've had people who came in as a summer worker, and they were interested in the youth field program, and I put them in touch with Janine because the cycle had already started.
They've got to have certain felony convictions.
Yeah, well, they take people that a lot of people wouldn't take. So even if they have a criminal record, we did.
It's designed to give them a second chance. Within reason.
So drugs and criminal record does not prevent them from being in the program.
But you don't advertise them doing that prior to getting the program.
We don't support that. We don't encourage that.
It's not one of the prerequisites.
Yeah.
Yes, how many companies are we working with right now out of these bills as far as going to visit and
what Janine does every quarter, she actually goes out and she does outreach with community partners. And so there are various companies that come in to actually mentor the students or to actually, because again, if you're doing a federally funded project, even if you're a large company that's international, like Skansen, they are one of the partners because they can actually get students who are going through the program that have OSHA training, that have a counselor that's with them.
Yeah.
And so,
and that company that she referenced, she's trying to partner with Youth Bill
nationwide.
Not necessarily with Lakeland, but with the whole youth professional program nationwide. And then here locally, our Williamstown project is our employer, and I think also they'll be a part of the Westlake project as well.
And even that company, even though they're a global company and work with Youthville Nationwide, they are employing some of our graduates. So she reaches out to partners to say, hey, we have students. She does something every quarter to encourage companies locally and not local to say, hey, if you're doing a government job and you want to get Section 3 participation, our students will fit that. And depending on where they're working, they'll come out as far as Lakeland. But as Skanska was doing a lot of the road work in downtown Tampa, that area, so I'm sure there, if there's a Youthville program in that area, they're going to go closer first before they reach out to Lakeland. But they have been at they have had representatives at some of the outreach and fundraisers that she actually have them come in and talk to the students and actually have them do volunteer work on the various jobs that are available.
Has public participated in that we know of?
Well, we do get a grant from public. So because we have on several years received money from public, they have been active with our Youthville Lakeland program. In addition to GiveWell, in addition to Travelers. Mm-hmm. Those are three charities that consistently provide funds for Youthville on an annual basis.
Mm-hmm. I know Home Depot participates in that, correct?
I'll have to look to see. I can't tell
you. They haven't given us a donation per se and stuff, so, but we definitely open to collaboration with any partners, yeah, I suggest. So.
Okay.
How about Lowe's?
No, I'm just. We don't care about Lowe's. That's that other people. We're worried about the big horn,
Okay. Any other questions as far as the financials? Legal report.
No resolutions, I think he's.
Yeah. There's no resolutions.
No resolutions. Okay. Well, after all that positive news, luckily you don't have any negative legal report news, so I would pass this evening. Yeah.
What about the parking lot news?
I would pass on my report this evening. Thank you, Commissioner. Go to Lowe's. They have a bulletin.
Okay. I do have a couple of questions for our legal. The Housing Authority, you know, we have a strategic plan. Is that public records?
Yes.
It's available to the public. Where would they go to see that? Would they come here?
They
get in touch with...
Yeah, just contact me, and I'll get them a copy.
Okay. I only ask the question because I've had some strange phone calls. Asking about some of the way the Housing Authority operates from some of the community groups. And I would just encourage every other commissioner to don't answer too many questions. Just steer them right here to the Housing Authority. If they have a question in Section 8, you know, wait lists, and how do you get to the top or where you have to go to the bottom. And they're fishing. And I think that my answer to the ones that called me was that, if you have questions, you need to go right to the source, and that's the Housing Authority.
And like you asked, that is public record information.
Yeah. So I just stayed away. I don't know how many of the commissioners might have phone calls.
I actually got a call from a judge, and I'm getting to meet with her next month to go over Section 8. Yeah.
And they were also inquiring around the process for the jobs to go off a bid and the RFP process, so.
Yeah, no problem. So if you refer to me, I'll take it.
So I don't know if any of the commissioners have had any questions, but they're fishing.
Anytime I do, I just point them out.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't answer.
Because if they can box you in, they say, Commissioner so-and-so said this, Commissioner so-and-so said that. So I just want to caution everybody. Commissioner Pimentel, are you awake?
He said he won't have no meat because he was working. So
I want to get some comments if he had any comments, but evidently he's silence prevails. Okay, any other business?
No, sir.
Okay, there being no further business.
Well, I have another thing.
You have something?
Yeah. Last month, we there was some people in the audience came forth. The answer to those questions are in here.
In the big binder.
Oh, over here.
Here they are. Yeah. Oh. Midnight reading.
That's what this is.
That's a bedtime.
That's a tree.
And also
several trees.
Copies of the responses were sent via certified mail to each of the speakers. But as of today, only one had accepted the delivery.
To speak on what?
Folks who spoke at the Portal Forum last month.
Okay. Now, the other question is, I lifted it up because I do lift weights, so I had a chance to do some exercise with this. So that's a good thing. The other thing, is it in here, the response to each person that, and their names are in here, aren't they? The names of who responded, who came to the meeting?
Yeah.
There were three responses.
There's a copy of the public forum request form.
Right.
So that has their names and what they add, what they wrote as a blurb as to what they were going to talk about.
I was just wondering the legality of putting someone's name in here.
It's a public record.
Is it the comment the public record or their name becomes public record?
Yeah. All of it is public record.
Yeah. What we redacted in here because of their request was like personal information like social security numbers and things like that. But names, you don't redact that.
So if a person comes in here and wants to say something and they have a police record or they're getting ready to get a divorce.
I don't think a police record is in there.
No, I don't have it ready. And they're in the process of getting a divorce or they've been in jail, whatever. Their name will pop up here and personal information can easily come up, couldn't it?
No, I think
how do we get rid of the personal information? Could we just get rid of the name and just answer the question?
You can't. And the reason why is this. This is Florida law. It's not HUD rules or regulations. If you think about it, everything that's said in this forum is a public record. Mm-hmm. So when people stand up and address you and they say who they are or whatever, it's mm-hmm. already on record, number one. But any document that comes to the housing authority is filled out on behalf of the housing authority. Like our public forum form mm-hmm. becomes a public record.
Okay.
It's actually a part of the minutes, if you will.
Yeah.
So,
and we get requests periodically that ask for information that includes rather personal information, and we consult with legal counsel about what we could, basically black out and still comply with Florida law. And that's what we tried to do with this as well, to go through and black out what we deem to be personal information. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Let me go one step further. Because it's been a couple of years, I think, since you came to my office. Mm-hmm. The it's unfortunate in Florida, but any residence found is open for a public records request. So other than social security numbers, banking information, credit card information, mm-hmm. and some medical information limitedly. All of that information is available to anyone at any time. It's unfortunate. I've had neighbors, when they understood what a public records request is, request another neighbor's file because they wanted to know where they were working or
right.
whatever.
They can pull it up.
They got actually groups out there that do that.
Well, my question is, even though it might be legal, is it necessary that we keep the people's name in there when we answer the question? Could we just say this question came up, here's the answer to it, without putting that person's name there? I mean,
it's possible, but keep in mind, one of the things that we say to a speaker is, mm-hmm. that you will get a copy of the response
right.
sent to you.
Right.
Well, even if we don't put their name in it, once we send it, the correspondence that goes to them and their address and their name is still a matter of public record. Mm-hmm.
So when you, I'm just asking a question. When we mail this out to the individual that speaks to us here, mm-hmm. Do we have answers to all the questions that came on the floor?
There should be.
Okay, so then my information will be sent to John Doe, to Julio, and to Bebe, no, right? No,
no. Not to Bebe, because Bebe didn't fill out the form.
Yeah. Okay. Now, we didn't send this whole packet.
No, I understand. Just the response.
No, no, what I'm saying is that
Speaker
A only got the portion that was relevant to Speaker A. They did not get the information that was relevant to Speaker B and C.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Okay. So if I were to come in and speak, I would just get the response to me, not to all everyone. Right, right. So everyone else does not receive.
Unless you requested it with a public record request.
Okay. But keep in mind now, it's a good question. Mm-hmm. What you got in your packet, mm-hmm. whether anybody requested it or not, is now part of this record.
Right.
And for it all.
So anybody can get the. I think I understand what you're saying. If I speak, I'm going to get a response to what I'm concerned about. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get a response that was sent to mm-hmm. Bebe and mm-hmm. Julio.
And Julio.
Okay? Pookie didn't fill out a form. but that information is still going to be available if I want it.
Anybody wants it.
Or if I didn't come to the meeting and I just passed by one day and decide I want to get a copy of whatever was sent mm-hmm. In this packet, that's available under Florida Public Records Law, with, as Ben pointed out, with certain things that can be redacted.
Exactly.
But it's very limited.
The redacting part is what I'm concerned about. Could we have the option of taking that person's name out before we send it out to them?
No.
We don't?
No. I'll comply with the law.
Just listen.
Right.
We are required, we're required to redact. And if you think about it makes sense. Social Security information, mm-hmm. bank account information, credit card information, mm-hmm. and some limited medical information. Mm-hmm. We're required to do that. Mm-hmm. We are not allowed to redact name, phone number.
Okay.
And if you think about it, think about a residence file. All of that information is contained in a residence file and is available as a public record also. Now, let me be clear. I'm not defending it. I can only tell you what the law is. Your legislators need to decide whether they want to address that. Housing authorities don't enjoy a lot of exemptions to the public records law. I'll tell you who does, and it's folk who have a strong lobby. Hospitals, schools have taken the initiative to go lobby and say, we need to protect this type of information. Mm-hmm. Judges, law enforcement, that's not a lobby. There are practical reasons for exemptions. So if you go, I'm just trying to give you a flavor. If you go and make a public records request at the courthouse now for Judge so-and-so's address or phone number, they will redact that. It's to protect judges. For certain law enforcement, you can't get that information either.
Even Governor Boies, if you sign the affidavit, they can have it with them also.
There are some things that were put into the law or lobbied for that have a broader exemption. Frankly, I think that resident files should be exempted.
The whole resident file?
Sure. However, that's already been litigated, and because, unfortunately, residents receive public subsidy, that is the theory behind why their files are
public.
Now, much to their dismay, your employees' files are also a matter of public record, with some minor exemptions. So if you want to know the connection between Mr. Stevenson and Bebe, you can get his file and see if there's something in there. So again, I don't. I think that's unfair. Also,
I'll redact everything about baby from my file.
I mean, it just seems reasonable. We can answer these questions without putting their names on there. This is the question, this is the answer. This is the question, this is the answer. This is the question. Why do I have to address it when this person asked the question? Here's your answer. This
is go back to the original. This young lady is an example. When she came, she gave her name. It's already on the record.
What I'm saying is, do we have the options of just saying, here's a question, here's the answer?
You just mean in the response?
Yes.
Possibly.
Well, then, if that's the case, then we don't need to. We can just send out the question and the answer and leave the names off.
But the form still exists.
Yeah. The form still exists, but in our response, it's mailing stuff out. We say the question came up. Here's an answer. Here's a question.
I would say this.
Without the name.
I would say this. That have to be reviewed on a case by case basis.
That's even worse.
No, it's not, because of the nature of those questions and accusations. I felt the need to be thorough in order to protect the housing authority, because that is my job, to protect the housing authority against any action that I or my staff take. And so,
as soon as they sign that paper when they come in, doesn't that release everything?
It's not a release.
Well, it makes it known.
And that's what I was trying to get at, but I want to make sure.
No, I understand,
What your concern is.
I understand that fully. They signed their name on the paper. I understand that fully. But could we answer the question without putting the name out? Just ask it.
That's why I said that could be reviewed to see. But let me again say one other thing. If you left here tonight, and I don't know when the next city council meeting is, you go to city council, they have a form, most, I don't know about Lakeland. Tell you about Tampa. They have a similar form that you fill out. And you're on the record, and that record can be obtained. So this isn't that unusual for Florida government. But you're being very specific in terms of the response. You'd rather just say, person A said this, and here's the response to person A.
Right.
I don't think that completely addresses what you're trying to address, what that's possible.
Question A, John Doe fell off a step. Answer, we're going to fix the steps. We don't have to put the John Doe name in there. Question, somebody fell off the steps at Paul Meadows. We're going to fix the steps. Just question, answer. Could we get around putting the name in there? But if we can't, then we just can't. If we have to put the name, we have to put the name. But do we have to put the name?
I'll think about it, but I'm not sure that what you want to accomplish by doing that is going to be accomplished, because the form will still exist, the record will still exist of the tape, the minutes will still exist to talk about who came and spoke at public forum. If the response doesn't address their names, I'm not sure what that totally accomplishes.
Take it down to the public records for this meeting, and then they have everything.
Well, I'll try.
Okay, no,
I said I can think you're trying
to protect the community, but at the same time, when they step into a meeting, they have to be clear that this becomes public record. Everything you say becomes public record. And then they may not want to say anything.
Now, if they called into the housing authority, did not identify themselves, say, hey, you have a broken step, you need to address it.
Yeah, that's a tough
thing. Don't know the person's name, so that... That'd be the only way that would happen, I believe, what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
But most of the people have an agenda when they come in here. And to demonstrate that agenda, they're saying who it is, and they have to know who they're going to respond to.
And that may be partially right if someone called in, but with a broken step, I'm just using a broken step, but we have a work order system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So once... they complain about a broken step, you got to generate a work order to repair it.
Yeah, I'll give you an example of where I didn't identify a resident. There was a shooting at one of our properties over a weekend, okay? And we didn't know anything about it because it happened over the weekend. But a resident sent me an email Okay. And I just responded to them, thank you for the information. But we took action, we contacted the LPD, got a police report, and did an investigation, and we were ready to address that issue. My concern with when people come to these board meetings and make a public complaint, I have to be thorough in my response, because otherwise, whereas you say you don't need to put this in there, but then somebody will say, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you say this? How do you know you're talking about that? So I have to make a decision as to what is going to protect the housing authority and also be able to justify the actions that are taken by me on my staff.
And I know this may not appease Mr. Robinson, but I believe, if I'm still correct, this information is posted on the Lakeland Housing Authority website. Is it the full packet in there? Report. That's what I'm talking about. So that's even posted there. They don't even have to do a public record request. They can just look at the website and pull it up. So, I mean, I'm not trying to, but I, because this is part of the board packet.
And that's why we put the redacted information in there.
I'm just bringing that up because they don't have to do public if they want to go there and look at it.
It's a fact, unfortunately.
It's a fact. It's part of the board packet. Yeah.
I have to comply with the law.
I'm not disagreeing with that. But it was a good question, definitely, to clarify.
I would say consult your local representative, because just about every legislative session, they address public records in one way or another. So concerns need to be brought to your representative, so hopefully they can. I would love to see them make some changes as it relates to housing authority.
We're talking federal representative. No. We're not talking state. No.
We're talking state.
That's a state law.
Okay.
Not Representative Ross. We
right.
Need your local representative.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, there being no further business to come before us, I will call the meeting adjourned at 7:12.
Meet the journey at 7:10. Thank you.